16, no, 15. The mercantile community should always follow the directions of the Brahmanas and engage in such occupational duties as agriculture, trade, and protection of cows. For the Shudras, the only duty is to accept the master from a higher social order and engage in his service. So details of this will come later. So we see is that the more technical is with the Brahmins and Kshatriyas, because you have to, because you're based on knowledge, on theory that will be applied, right? While the Vaishya and Shudra, it's more about the practical application. It's not so much about the theory. It means, of course, you have to understand the principles of economics to make it work, but it's not that the businessman sits around and theorizes about it, right? You know, that's the guys that sit down at, Federal Reserve. They do that, but then they know how to apply it, right? They'll know the theory, but the businessman just has to know, here's an opportunity, I take it. I put in my investment, I make my endeavor, I get my returns, it works out. So it's pretty simple. So therefore you do that in agriculture, trade, or protection of cows. Right? So that's the general principle. Banking can be used, but it's not recommended, but it's very popular these days. But, yeah. And then Shudras, it says that you have to work for somebody, because if you have a job, it means you're working for someone. It's just making it very clear. Why bring this out? One who says, oh, but this will sound bad, because the Shudra's only duty is to accept a master from a higher social order and engage in his service. So if I present it like this, then this will ruffle feathers, because, oh, but he's subservient to somebody, this and that. No, but we're just doing our duties. We're just, trying to get money. We're trying to live like everyone else. But that approach, what does it do? It removes the concept of the master. So what does it remove? It removes the personal relationship. So in other words, then what happens in the modern concept of a Shudra is it's just an impersonal. You're just a cog in a machine. So this is your choice, a cog in a machine or a person working for a person. Right? That's your choice. Because in any case, you're going to be working for someone, but do you want to be a person in that? And if so, then you have to accept the boss as a person. Right? Or you're just a cog in the machine. Take your choice. So the modernists, I don't want to accept him as a person, but then I end up as a cog in the machine. Right? The two go together. I can't have, but what they want is, I'm a person, I have rights, but the boss is just a machine. You understand? So you see everything's upside down. So it doesn't work. That's the difficulty. So that's why it's mentioned like this. Because you accept, you don't like the boss, go get a different job. Find somebody you like working for. A company that they have some ethics that you appreciate. You know, like work for one of these, more new agey organic companies or something. You know, like that. So you find somebody you like. You like what's going on there, and you put in your effort. Because the point is if you're not putting in your best effort, then why are you being paid? What are you doing? Right? Because you know the businessman is putting in his best effort to make a lot of money. So why should he pay us unless we're also helping in that point? So that's why the personal aspect is there. Right? Does that make sense? And for business, it's just business is business. You know it. It makes sense. You don't know it, don't worry about it. Right? That's basically there. Mano, even when he gives details, he only gives half a page of details. You know, it's like if you're working in a place that's not your language, or working in any places and not learn the language. Right? Business will go better if I'm, in a place, I know the language. Or let's say I source my material someplace, it's a different country, I know the language. Let's say I go to Italy, I source material, I should know Italian, And I'm selling that in another country, I should know that language. And then, of course, I know the language from my own place. Does that make sense? I should know the value of things, right? Even if I'm not selling it, I should know the value. What cloth is worth, what jewels are worth, gold is worth. All, in other words, whatever is of value to human society, I should know the price of it. Why? Because what's the point of the businessman going to do with his money? He's going to buy these desirable items. So the point is why should he waste his money? If he doesn't know the value of things, how will he buy good stuff? How will he invest properly? Because the point is if he's investing, everything should be an investment. right? His wife's clothes, the jewels, the ornaments, it should all be in proper investment. He should get something. Either it has its value, meaning I bought gold, you can sell the gold, or I bought something that has a certain social prestige and I get the value for that. Does that make sense? So, because it fits the mentality. So just like we were saying, for the Shudra, he's a person, he's working for a person. So the same with the Vaishya. He's investing, making profit. He should know what is investment in everything, not just in his own business. Because that's his life. And then it works nicely. So he's confident. Whatever I have in my possession has a value. Either it has a monetary value, it has a social value, it has a emotional value. You know, just like you say you go on vacation. Money's just gone. You go up to your second floor, go to your balcony, take a handful of money, throw it out the window. That's what a vacation is. But the point is if that has value in that the family's brought together, the relations are deepened, it was a valuable investment. So it either has to get something on that personal level, it has to get on an economic level, or it has to get on a social level. You know, it's just like I've heard businessmen tell that they themselves would rather have a smaller car, right? Because they're in the city and it's hard to find a place to park and this and that. So they would get one of these little dinky cars. But if they roll up at the place where they're having a meeting in a small car, people don't take them seriously. So they have to roll up with whatever's the biggest, fanciest, monstrous, you know, Mercedes or something. And then they'll go, okay, this guy's okay. He has to wear the watch, he has to have the suit. I mean, otherwise, he'd just be, you know, jeans and a t-shirt, right? You understand? So there, it's social. It for him, it's not a value, but it has the social. You understand? So in other words, for the Vaishya, it must be investment. Everything must have a valuable return, because otherwise, how is he going to be on his toes? Right? Because if one moment, you lose something. So they have to always be in practice. So it just fits the mentality. So it's not a problem. You know, and in that, then the family's considered, and this, you balance the whole thing. So therefore, the business side you don't have to mention, other than the few key things that it keeps up the proper mentality. Right? And Kshatriyas, you see, then it's about, respecting the Brahmins, protecting the people. So everything's according to that. Why not take charity? Because then how are they protecting? How are they taking care? Right? So that's why they don't do that. Because it goes against the mentality. But for the Brahmin, because he's living simply and things like that, then from that aspect, and it's not a social prestige, then it works for them. Does that make sense? Because Vaishyas, they'll take charity, but they'll also do business, and they'll also do this, and they'll also do that. So, no, but if you take charity, it means that's all you're doing. Right? So such a Kshatriya's business is protect, and that gets results. He won't take charity, otherwise why won't protect? But the Brahmin is taking charity because then he doesn't have to work. He focuses just on studying, teaching, doing the deity worship like this. Does that make sense? So that's why these are mentioned. So it's very personal. It matches perfectly the conditioning. And so you don't want to mess with these things, because otherwise then you get Varna Shankara. Right? Shankara means mixed. That's all it means. So Varna Shankara means mixed Varna. You know, Ashram Shankara means mixed Ashram. You know, does that make sense? You know, it's like you have the Italian guy that lives at home with his mother. He's 40 years old. He's a top lawyer. He drives up in a Porsche, but he's not married. That's Ashram Shankara, right? Because he's going out with the ladies and partying and all like that, but he'll never commit himself because he just likes the, what part he likes, because his mother will take care of everything. So no one's going to cook better than his mother. No one's going to wash clothes and clean up after without complaining. You know, and then you just go out with the ladies for fun, right? Thank you. Sorry. That makes sense? So that's Ashram Shankara. He just wants a little bit of everything. Does that make sense? So you have Varna Shankara, you have Ashram Shankara. But Ashram Shankar is generally not a big thing, because it's very rare someone can stay in one place or the other. Because generally, at some point, some lady will catch the guy, you know. You know, so therefore, you don't really have to worry about that. But Varna Shankar, you have to worry about, because that means in Ashram Shankar, you maybe mess up your life. But Varna Shankar, you can mess up a lot of people's lives. So that's why it's the big problem. So you hardly hear about Ashram Shankar. Okay. 16. As an alternative, because now we've discussed the standard. Now, if that can't be done, then you have alternative. Yes?
By which mechanism we can, I don't know, withdraw awareness about the devotees, because in one discussion in Prabhupada, there was that all the devotees are generally made for the Brahmana.
Yes.
But even though we have to establish the varnas, and then who will establish the specific varnas for the devotees?
It's not that someone does it. That's the thing. It means if anyone's doing it, it's the brahminical, but it's being done by educating, and then the individual does it themselves. Because you're talking about self-realization. If you can't figure out who you are, then how you'll take part. It's not a matter of being told. It's a matter of you should work it out yourself. Because when we're talking about a shudra here, we're talking about a human. Right? If we're not following the Vedic culture, we're technically not human. So we're thinking that shudra is low. But for coming from the Western culture, you have to technically look up to see a shudra. Right? So they're in a good position because it's human. They understand the value of life. They work by these good qualities. They understand their duties and everything. And so everybody works together, and it's a very cooperative society. So that means everybody can understand who they are. Like that. So that's a basic thing. So that's why it starts there. Does that make sense? But for us, because the primary is the Brahman, therefore Atato Brahma Jigyasa, right? What's his name? Jaimini. His opening of his sutras is the Tato Dharma Jigyasa. Now it's time to acquire that Dharma. Right? Because he's only interested in humans. But Vyasadeva is interested beyond humans to the soul. Like that. So
recognize on the, I don't know, basic activities of
the point is everybody. This is how you. This is the first thing you want to do. If you're talking about a practical padati here, you know, a priyota. Yeah, padati. I think there's another name for it, but it means it's step by step. First is understand what's going on in these chapters. What's ashram, varna, and ashram? That's there. Okay. So now within this, the first thing to understand is when they're talking about this. Have you noticed ashram being mentioned here? Varna is one thing, ashram is another. Okay. Ashram, there's only one set. It's brahminical. So brahmachari, grihastha, vanaprastha, sannyas, that's brahminical ashram. Now, how much one follows, that's another thing. Following all four, that's standard for a brahmana. Right? Does that make sense? So, yeah. But, you know, Kshatriya 3 is standard, though they can't follow 4. Vaishya 2 is standard, though they can't follow 3 or 4. Shudra generally 1 is standard, though they can't follow 1. You know what I'm saying? It's just your generic. Your Shudra is just going to be Grihastha. He's going to grow up as a bachelor and become a Grihastha. Right? The Brahma Kshatriyas and Vaishyas should grow up as Brahmacharis and then become Grihastha. But the Brahmin might not become a Grihastha. Generally, the others always will. Does that make sense? So the ashram system is brahminical. So by ashram, all devotees are Brahmins. Right? Because what's within ashram? It's your sadhana and then relationships. Does that make sense? So all devotees are Brahmin by ashram. So that's why within the temple services and activity and preaching, we don't make a distinction there. But who gives the class? It's not that he has to be a Brahmin. Who does the puja? It's not. No. They qualify by their devotees. So that's the nature here. Right? And They're mature, so therefore they have second initiation, therefore they do the puja. If they don't have second initiation, they haven't matured in the Vaishnava, so therefore they don't do. Does that make sense? But then you'll see is then your suitability within that, because there'll be the influence of the Varna. Is it something they can do all day? Like there's devotees who can do puja all day. And then there's then other devotees would like to be involved in the puja when they can. Does that make sense? You know, come dress the deities when they can, or do arti, or cook for the deities. You know what I'm saying? They're on a schedule, and then there's always some adjustments. Oh, the family, relatives are coming over. I can't cook this weekend, but then someone else will fill in, and then you'll fill in for them next. You know, it works out. So that would be is. Because they're devotees, they're able to perform the brahminical activities. But because of their varna, they can't do it 24/7. Like that. Does that make sense? But as they mature in devotional service, then when they get like to the vanaprastha stage, or even before, then even if they're not brahminical by varna, they can do full-time devotional service. They could be a temple devotee and do and be comfortable at that. But that's because of the devotional, that's because of the brahminical. That's coming from the ashram, not from varna. You know what I'm saying? So therefore he's full-time pujari, but let's say they're not into the technical stuff. You know, they can cook, they can do the artik, they can do the simple puja, but let's say the shaligram puja they can't relate to. Does that make sense? So you're going to see the flavor, because you're dealing with conditioning, because that's what you're engaging. In other words, the secondary is being engaged in the primary. But in this case, the primary is the prominent, therefore, then the secondary has that brahminical flavor. Okay? Then when we look at varna, then it's, okay, what occupational aspects would be done? In other words, what makes your service of value? Right? So that's going to be brahminical kshatriya vaishya shudra. Right? So therefore you have a temple manager. It's not that he's not a Brahmin, but he's the one managing. Right? But it should be someone who knows something about management that's getting it done. Unless it's on a small scale. You can have a small temple and they don't know. It's fine. Or they're a great preacher and they're the leader there and he has managers that like what they're doing and will do their activities because of their inspiration. You know what I'm saying? So it can be done.
Is daily ashram based on the ashram, on the spiritual activity?
Yes.
And the rest is under condition.
Yeah, it's just, in other words, it's just as a simple example. Because if you give other examples, people will argue. Who drives the car? Someone who knows driving or just a person who feels like it? Right? But they say, no, but they want to be on the management council. They have that, they have that done. Why can't we accommodate? Oh, why don't you let them drive the car? The 10-year-old kid would love to drive the car. Why don't you let him? He has so much feeling, you know. Everybody else kind of really couldn't care less about driving. So as far as feeling goes, he has the most. So he qualifies. You should let him drive the car. Do we do that? No. We work by material qualification. And he's too young, or he's too small, he can't reach the pedals, you know? Like that. So why is it on something practical like that? We make this decision. But then when it comes to these other things that we're not used to, then we get out all this, you know, equity, fraternity, liberty, and all that kind of jazz. Does that make sense? So that's the thing, it's not reasonable, it's not logical. So varnashram is logical, so it can't be approached from simply a sentimental aspect. But it does take care of the sentiment. The point is, kshatriyas like to protect. Brahmins like to study and teach. Vaishyas like to increase, you know, facility and economics. Shudras like to, you know that this is my job and just get it done. They have an art, they have a, you know. So the sentiment is included in the Vedic. The modern is sentiment without the science. That's not very good. You're supposed to have science and sentiment. So sentiment's not a problem. It's a problem if the science isn't there. Does that make sense? So that's why you have to approach from the science first and then introduce the sentiment. If someone's practiced at it, you can do both, deal with both at once. But if you're learning, you learn science, then sentiment. You know, it's just like, let's say someone wants to be a jazz musician. First, they learn the science of music and do all the practices and the scales and the runs and all that kind of stuff over and over and over and over again. And then, when they know it nicely, now they can bring in the sentiment and just go all over the place and play all day. Right? Does that make sense? That's how it works. Because if you just start off, you know, in the sentiment, you're not going to get a jazz musician. You know? So that's the whole thing, is you have to know the science, and then you put the, you know. So that's the difficulties. Nowadays, the popular thing is just feelings. Like I was being told the other day of a meeting where there's the meeting's going on and somebody didn't like how it was going because the logic was going against their feeling. Then they just blow up and leave the room and come back and cry and nobody cares and no one has the feeling. So they just purely used feeling to try to railroad the whole thing in their direction. They even then resigned and then came back. It was like a total, like, you know, drama. Like that. And so that's not supposed to happen. Administration is we're talking about administration meeting. Administration is supposed to be management based on logical principles, based on shastra, based on devotional service. Right? And then you would consider the feelings of people. That has to be, but that's the fourth stage. But they're taking it that that's primary. You start with the feeling. No, you start with shastra. You start with the acharyas. Then you apply, you know, and then what's the nature of people? Then you apply yourself into it. So if you do that, then it works very nicely. Then it runs smoothly. But otherwise, then nowadays, so much of it is, oh, why can't you do this? Oh, because the devotees won't like it. Well, who's educated them? Isn't anybody? It's never even a concept that, no, the community should be educated. No, but the community won't like it. So? You know? In the material world, no one likes it. You know? Your dog. Does a dog like to go outside when it's freezing to go to the bathroom? It'd rather just go in the house. You know? So is that how it works? No, you train the dog to go outside. So without training, then what's the meaning? Then you're just talking about kids. So in other words, when I say, oh, the community doesn't like, means the community is a bunch of little kids, immature kid children, and we don't want to make the effort as the adults to train them because it's just so much easier to just let it ride. You know, it's just like turning on the television for the kids and that's all you can do. So what kind of parenting is that? So that is not a valid. It's a valid consideration, but it's not a valid authority. You can't say, oh yeah, this is the nigrahastan. Like, and now I say, you know, say nigrahastan, that's in logic where you, the point that finishes the conversation. Right? You've gone through your logic and then you say the final thing that just establishes it as a fact. But nowadays it's supposed to be, it's sentiment. Oh, they feel like this. Oh, the community won't like that. Or, you know, what will they say? Who's this they? No intelligent personal life. There's tons of intelligence. So you're saying all the devotees are stupid? You understand? So it's not real. It's immature. Does that make sense? And immaturity, we're not meaning that they're not senior in age or in skills and abilities. We're meaning mature is that they're not considering it according to the spiritual consideration. That's what, in other words, that's what Jarabhart told Maharaj Raghuvinda. You're immature. And throughout the Bhagavatam, we see this again and again, that somebody's working on the secondary, and they're good at the secondary, but then someone who's pointing at the primary will say, this is immature. Because it means you're not matured in the higher understanding. Nowadays, if you have the skill, because amongst neophytes, if I have a skill, I consider myself more advanced. Let's say, just some guy off the street joins the temple, and at the same time, somebody, let's say, who it was, had a doctor's degree, you know, and he joined the temple. And they're both just brand new, they both joined the same day. But if they're going to go do something, who feels he should be telling the other one what to do? The doctor. Because he thinks, I'm a doctor, I'm more advanced. Right? Why should this guy be managing? Oh, because he has a degree in this, or he knows that, or no. It's who's mature in Krishna consciousness, they lead. Now, someone who's leading can take advantage of the knowledge of someone who is not mature but has the skill. In other words, let's say you have somebody who knows management, they studied it or something. So let's say the leadership may take advice from them, but they'll never be making the decision. They don't have the maturity. Because you're dealing with devotees. Unless you have Krishna conscious maturity, why you should be making a decision? But you could say, yes, this management thing would be good, that one wouldn't. So they can be part of a discussion, but they won't be part of the decision making. You understand? But now it's automatic. Oh, he knows he should be qualified. What do we know? That may be. What do we know? We're supposed to know Krishna consciousness. That's the superior subject matter. You know, just like in the university, when you have the graduation day, you have all the professors sitting there. You know, who sits in the front? Right? The physicists. Who's sitting at the back? You know, the guys with degrees in literature or stuff like that. Right? So, you know, amongst themselves there's a hierarchy. But what should be in the front of the scientists? Those the theologians. But now, because they separate all these things, then you don't have to go to a theological seminary to learn that. But before, in the medieval university, then from the same, you studied theology, you studied law, you studied medicine. The university taught those three, but the highest degree was theology. They were the doctors, and the lawyers and doctors were masters. That makes sense. Master and doctor was synonymous. It was just to give the distinction who is a theologian, that's all. Right? So technically of knowledge, even by the Western thing, it's the higher. So the point is if you know the philosophy of Krishna consciousness and the culture of it and its application, you're in a higher position than anyone on the planet. And can advise anybody. But it's the degree of one's maturity. Right? So the bigger the post in the material world, the more mature you have to be to deal with them. So, make sense? Yeah. So then one has to understand that it's the ashram. Then the varna is according to what is their material skills, what is their conditioning, what can they do. But it's not even just that, but what's their maturity in it? And what is their nature that they are, what is their qualification? Because let's say someone's a manager, but he can only manage in a certain area. You know? Like say you have someone who's an accountant. Okay, now accountancy is within economics. But does an accountant know how to spend money? How to invest money? Not at all. They never teach him that. He only knows how to account and just see that it's, you know how much money is there or how much money is gone. But you will find nowadays accountants think because they know money in that way, they're qualified to say how people should spend it. They're not at all. Zero. I mean, absolutely zero. You know? But they'll think, no, I know money. They don't know money. They can't make money. They can only document money. They can't make it. They can't spend it. They only know how to write it down. So therefore, you have to know is, okay, he works in that field of accountancy. He's mature in it, but because it's accountancy, he's only qualified for that. So he doesn't make decisions on how it's spent. He can simply give advice, we have this much. Because he knows that kind of aspect. But he can't say what it should be spent on. He can't say we should buy this and not that. Unless he has his own personal, okay, he himself was an accountant, but his father, let's say, worked in construction, so he knows what is of value within. So therefore, you'd ask. But when it comes to, let's say, kitchen stuff, he doesn't know zip. So, you know, why would he? You understand? Because the problem is that someone thinks if I'm authority in one thing, I'm an authority in everything. But you have to know is where you can do and what you can't do. That's the whole Vedic society. That's why it's self-realization. That's why it's training. So this idea, oh, the community won't like, it's like, well, who's training the community? Where are your Brahmins? Where are your Kshatriyas? What's going on? What's why would they think this way? Because if you check, the point that they're making that the community won't like is at best pranamoy. At best. And we're talking average pranamoy, not high-grade pranamoy, not like philosophical pranamoy here. You know, some, you know, French guy in a cafe kind of pranamoy. We're talking about just, you know, I feel like that and that's all. Does that make sense? So therefore, that's what you have to know. So you know they're all devotees, so on that platform everybody's equal, but there's more mature and less mature. There's neophytes, there's madhyamas, there's uttamas, like this. And there's areas where someone's more mature, someone's less mature. You know, like someone's better at kirtan, someone's better at the deity worship. So on regular days, it doesn't matter who does what. You know, say the guy's not very good at kirtan, but on a regular day, he practices. But at a festival, he doesn't practice. You take your best men, and they do the kirtan. The best men, they do the puja. The best men, they do the organization. You have to have your best. Like when they had the Rajasuya sacrifice, Krishna was taking the shoes. Right? Can you imagine what kind of a riot? You could start a war by mixing up the king's shoes. It's one thing you made a mess, mixed them up, but what if you mixed them up with someone who's his enemy? What's that going to mean? That's a war. Like that. So it's like that. Bhima takes care of the food. Right? Now Bhima's qualified. He likes food. Right? So he takes care of that. Sahadeva Nakula. They greet people and have them sat down. So you have to be able to greet every king according to his position, his nature, what is where they're from. You know, it's like I was seeing an advertisement. And it was talking about this thing with the, you know, businessmen, and because it's a more world business, you have to know how to deal. Just like in most countries, let's say if there's a man and a woman that are together, you shake the man's hand first, then the woman's. But it was pointing out in Sweden where you shake the woman's hand first, then the man's. So it's just showing that, no, you have to know what you do in different countries. So like that, as you're talking about all the kings of the world, so therefore, you can't just have anybody. You can think, oh, it's greeting, anybody can do that. Taking care of the food, anybody can do that. Taking care of the shoes, that's how we manage. But we see is that's not how Yudhishthira and them manage. No, you take the best man and he does that. Who received all the wealth for Yudhishthira at the Rajasuya? Duryodhana. One, he's in the family of emperors and their family, because you only want family to know what you're getting. And he's as strong as 10,000 elephants, so he can actually carry it. You know, otherwise Bhima can do it, but Duryodhana is not known for his cooking, so Bhima is, you know, more of an eater. So therefore you switch the roles. You understand? And then sitting them, who sits next to who, that you also don't want to start a war. So you have to be so intelligent to be able to do these. They seem like menial things, but they make all the difference. When Prabhupada says cultural revolution, this is the culture. You know? But we think it's by management we're going to save the world. No. You manage culture, you manage Krishna consciousness. So management's very important, but as a secondary principle, not as a primary. Like that. So does that make sense? Yeah, so you have to know the whole thing. It's just, yeah, then it works. Yes.
Maharaj, do these personalities discussing the term varna attribute that term to any human being or only to those who have reached that level of humans?
Means it's the clearest when it's when one is human, but it's going to be there anyway. Just like we give the example of in a tribe, right? Yeah. You have a tribe, but you have the witch doctor. But the witch doctor is like the Brahmin. They know all the stories, the histories, the tribe. They know, you know, the creation, they know this, they know the medicine. They can give advice because they've seen so much, because they're more detached, like that. Then you have the chief of the tribe and a few major players who, you know, manage it. Then you have all the warriors, which are, you know, they're the ones that go out and get the bread and butter, you know. And then you have guys that are just told what to do. So you're going to have it anyway. So these warriors means that they're like that, because being warriors, that's who makes the money, right? You know what I'm saying? So any tribe, they all have this kind of thing. or the people who go out and gather, you know, this they have. And then there's the ones that just kind of tag along. So it's subtle. You know, they're all living basically like Shudras. They're, you know, but the point is they're still within that. There's just like within Shudras, there's Shudras for Brahman, Shudras for Kshatriyas, Shudras for Vaishya, Shudras for Shudras. You understand? Just like a doctor, he needs Shudras. So your anesthesiist, your nurses, that these are Shudras. But they're qualified. They know the language, they know the thing, they know the operations. You know, there's probably nurses that know at this point in the operation you should do this or that. You know, so they're quite qualified. Like that. But they're Shudras for the doctors. You know, lawyers, they have the guys that are just assistants that look through the books and this, all that. You know? So they're Shudras. Vaishyas, they have their salespersons, they're this, they're that. There's so many things. You know, it's like you have one department store which has, you know, hundreds of thousands of workers, and there's one or two or three Vaishyas. Does that make sense? You know, and even among Shudras, then they have Shudras. Like, say you have a, it's some kind of a skilled trade, Shudras, right? They're, let's say, making musical instruments, right? So the Shudra knows how to do that. Then the other guys who are his assistants that know one part of it, they know how to make this one part of the instrument or that part. But he's the one who knows how to put it together and get the sound. And so people come to buy his instrument. So even Shudras have Shudras, right? Yeah. So the whole point is personal. So the saying is, so that's what they're saying, you should pick a master. So do I pick a Brahman, a Kshatriya, Vaishya? Where do I fit? That means you have to know your nature. And so it's very personal, it's very sophisticated. So it's not a problem. And one of the nicest devotees I met, such a good service attitude, fabulous driver. He would drive, you know, that was his job. And one day something came up about discussion about Varnashram. And he just made it very clear, says, I'm a Shudra. You know, I know how to drive, I know how to assist. And he was one of the nicest and best devotees at his activity that I've seen. Because he was just so exactly clear, this is what I do. So he wasn't trying to be the big man, make the decisions and that. But when it comes to driving, he's the guy who knows. So he might get upset if you say, oh, we can drive from here to there in half an hour. He'll say, no, it'll take 45 minutes. You know, and you can't say, well, who are you? You're just the driver. So that's the point. Yeah, I'm the driver. I know. You know, but he is so nice in the service center because he was very clear. I'm this. Right? Another devotee. He just knew, I'm a Vaishya. Right? He's born in a Vaishya family, generations of Vaishyas. He knows I'm a Vaishya. So he would always be respectful to others, work with the managers, give lots in charity, tons of charity. Like that. The guy gives millions every year in charity. Like that. So that's the whole thing. They're clear, and then it's so easy to work. So this whole thing is, no, we're all equal, all this and that, and then nobody's anything, and nobody's nothing. You know, nothing happens. So you can't get anything done, you can't move forward. Oh, but that would be discrimination. What is the discrimination? Technically, discrimination is a symptom of intelligence. Can, you know, let's say it's right and wrong. You discriminate between right and wrong. Right? You discriminate which thing to do or not do. But it also has the bad side from the social, oh, you're discriminating against a person's position. But that's not actually by intelligence, that's the mind. Okay, the intelligence figured out, okay, they're in a particular social group or that, but anybody could have figured that out. It's not that difficult, right? It wasn't that, you know, they had to be a scholar. So it's actually their mind. So it's lack of good qualities that you're, not about discrimination. But, you know, do you discriminate when you walk out of your bedroom in the morning between your mom, your dad, your kids, your this, that? You can't tell the difference. Can't tell which is the bathroom and which is the living room. You know, you go in and, you know, first thing, go in and water the plants, and then, you know, go brush your teeth. And, you know, I mean, so, you know, you go in the bathroom and do all that. So the discrimination is always used. That's intelligence. So now a perfectly good term has been given a bad connotation. And now if you make any distinction in an area someone doesn't like, oh, it's discrimination. But if it's an area that they like, let's say someone's too conservative. Now, if the liberals discriminate against him and sideline him, that's perfectly fine. That's being you know, proper. But if he points out something that this one could do this, that one's that, oh, that's discrimination. You understand? So it's simply politics. It's not intelligence, it's not culture, it's just politics, and the point of the politics is economic development. Right? And you try to keep the economic development flowing by seeing that justice is there. But the justice is only for economic development. It's not justice about what who should be doing what according to Dharma. It's who should be doing what according to economics. What will make profit for and profit for the group that's interested. Right.
Does these development of these 30 qualities that were mentioned,
yes,
how the improving in these qualities affect this term varna?
It means it'll be the quality will be better. It's just like, let's say, you go into the kitchen and there's a pot there, kind of beat up, scratched up, aluminum, Teflon's fallen off. It was, you know, cheap plastic handle. Is it a pot?
Yeah.
Okay, now you have one of those high-end, some French thing, it cost you, you know, some hundreds of, it's still a pot, yeah. But the quality of it will work better. Yeah. Okay. So, good? Yes?
Yes, I'd like to ask a question. This was very nice, this sentiment with science. Because it has happened to me even long time ago, I came to the Christian temple only for the sentiment.
Okay.
So I'm thinking about this, that maybe because I have investigated many things, and my big surprise is that I have done some not so valuable sentiments, but most of my sentiments have been good. Maybe there was some param atman whispering. Sometimes sentiment gets you in a good thing.
No. We're not saying the sentiment's bad. We're saying that, because this basically this general discussion is about leadership. So what we're talking about is that leadership should be working from science and then applying that into the personal, which means into the sentimental area. Right? It's just like, let's say, I have a good cook. So they know the science of cooking, but then they'll apply the cooking according to, you know, who it is. They're cooking for this person at this time of day and this season for this particular reason. So let's say I'm going to cook differently, let's say if it's a person's birthday, than if it's just, you know, 9 o'clock at night and we just want something quick to eat. You know what I'm saying? So the sentiment is applied inside the science. That's the thing. So the difficulty comes up is that if it's only sentiment, then there's a problem, because then you may start with sentiment, but then you apply the science. So either you apply the science and the sentiment, or sentiment and then apply the science. But if you just leave it at one or the other, only science, only sentiment, then it's either too emotional or it's too dry, like that. So you try to get both. But it doesn't technically matter where you start, as long as it becomes complete. You know, does that make sense? You know, that's the thing. Okay. Oh, yes.
I want to ask, it means that generally every varna can manage, but every varna have to focus why or...
Yes, what the management is getting, because that's the point, is sometimes it's taken manage as a big thing, everybody manages. You know what I'm saying? So it says, why is the house in order? Because the wife manages it, right? The guy took off his sock, one here, one there, left the shoe here, left the coat over there. That's not management. So why is it that when he wants socks, they're in a particular drawer, in a particular way? That's because they were managed, right? So everybody's managing, but what's the goal of the management? So that's why technically, we're using generally the term management, but what we're meaning more is administration. So administration means it's about protecting dependents, right? And you're using the administrative field to get it done. So management is part of that. You know, you have a bureaucracy as part of that. You have, you know, some kind of aspect of force as part of that. You know, either police force or military or, you know, something. So you know, he's saying you'll have reserves, you have a treasury, you have to have that because you have to have. So the king, the administrative element, is on its biggest. That's why it'll be discussed on that platform, right? But management is on every platform. Every platform has to do that, just like the housewife. She's managing the house, but she has to see that money's put away, right? You know, like that. She has to see the different aspects of the house are there, what to buy, what to, you know, it's just like, if, let us say it is, you know, you like jam, okay? So when's the time to buy jam? Okay, let's say we use, 15 bottles of jam a year. When's the time to buy jam? Right? Just after the season. Whatever the fruit is, strawberries are there, right after strawberry season or during strawberry season, right after that, the jam will come out. Then it'll be the cheapest. Now, I go to buy jam in the middle of winter, that's going to be expensive. So therefore, I buy all the jam at that time. Then I have jam for a year. You know, so you know what to buy where and what's of value, what lasts. So that's all, these are the qualifications that are there. You know what I'm saying? So that's the management, because what is your goal? Nicely run the environment of the house and that it's comfortable and peaceful to be Krishna conscious in. Does that make sense?
Real true part of management is to see only the primary goal.
Right. Yeah, it has to get that because, in other words, the secondary being the kritattva, it has to accomplish the primary, right? It's just like, let's say, I want to cook, okay, but if I say, what does cooking look like? I'll say that, let's say we're cooking vegetables, there'll be vegetables in a pot on a fire with something to move them around, you know? So, therefore, cooking is the primary aspect, it's the principle. Right, that's Krishna. But the secondary is his energies, which means the form of it and the activity of it. You know what I'm saying? So even the cooking is the principle that something is being brought from a uncooked state to a cooked state. Right? And so even the forms of that, when we get down into it, then that you're applying the heat, that you're stirring, that you're putting a lid or not putting a lid. These are all technically secondary aspects. These are the forms and activities. So that's feminine. So that's why the point is the masculine and feminine have to go together. You can't have one without the other. You can't appreciate the masculine unless the feminine is there. And the feminine has no meaning unless the masculine is there. So like you said, you have a kitchen, if there's no cooking, what's the meaning? But if you want to cook and there's no kitchen, how do you do it? So that's why it says Krishna's energy are non-different, but there's a difference. So even though Krishna is manifest through the internal potency, we can see him through his internal potency, means through the energy, through the feminine nature. You can still tell this is Krishna, he's masculine. So, you know what I'm saying? Radharani is manifest through the internal potency. She is the internal potency. Krishna's form is manifest through the internal potency. But you can still see this is Krishna, he's masculine, and this is Radharani, she's feminine.
Satisfied Krishna is the one of the main goal, and the varnas and their occupations are only this
secondary. Yes.
Support.
Yes. So, in other words, varnashram is the sattvic secondary method to serve Krishna. While I don't think you could say non-Vedic would be tertiary, you know, it would be way down the line. There may be aspects that are good. Like you take anything, like I was just saying, like the in the secondary education, I'm not sure how far down it goes, but I just know about the secondary education here, is you have, there's a set course. So it can be done, I think, its standards can be done in 3 years. But a student can do it in 2 years if he's more intelligent, or do it in 4 years if he's not as quick. You understand? So something like that, now that's a Vedic principle, that someone learns at their speed. So that would be a good thing, but there may be other things within it which are completely speculative that don't have any meaning. Does that make sense? You know, saying like, oh, boys and girls have to study together, and that makes it better. But anybody who really works in education knows that that doesn't work. Girls work good on their own, boys work good on their own. Right? Because in any private school, they do one or the other, if they're really worried about grades. Somebody who wants good grades doesn't go to a co-ed school. Because then the social element comes in and most of your time is spent with that, especially girls. In other words, in the co-ed, the boys will do okay, the girls will bomb. But if it's a private, where it's just girls and just boys, the girls will tend to do better than the boys, in general. But amongst boys, there'll be boys who'll do better and they'll be generally better than the girls, a small percentage. Does that make sense? You know, it's just like, let's say, all girls can cook, because it's an art. But chefs generally are men. But most men can't cook. You understand? You understand? That's how it functions. So that's why in the Vedic it's like that. So then schools are like that. That aspect is there. So in the modern, it's speculative. It's hit or miss. So something that's now and it's working great, someone will come up with a theory that they think it'll work better in another way and throw off the whole system. Just like in English. 200 years ago, actually more, 200 and some odd years ago. No, actually 200 years ago, like that. They came up with a concept that the way kids learned English was demeaning. It was insulting to the child. So they came up with these new concepts on how to learn. And kids have had trouble learning English since for the last 200 years. Because before that, there's sounds that are there, you learn the sounds in English. You just learn the sounds. And then once you learn the sounds, then you can put it together and read. So learning the sounds and reading was instant. In the modern system, between learning the sounds and reading, it's 2 years. 1.5 if you're a little sharper. 2 years between you know A, B, C, D, E, F, G. A, is it said as A? A, you know, like that. O, U, G, H, O. You can also put an O and get the same sound. So it takes you 2 years to figure that out. Though in the old system, they just put all those combinations together, and all you did is go, like that, and then until you knew how to read. And that would come in weeks. But somebody thought, that's demeaning because the kids are just saying nonsense. They should be doing something of value, saying real things. And so for 2 years, they don't know what they're talking about. And somehow or another, that's more dignified. You know, so that's the problem. And speculation comes in, which comes in from the non-Vedic, especially. Vedic gets its share of speculation, but generally that speculation is over, you know, whether it's bhakti, liberation, or you know, how you say, fruitive work. That's generally where it is. But in the culture, it's one culture. You have the Vaishnavas, you have the Smartas, you have the impersonalists, they all have the same culture. They all sit down to eat, there's no problem. Serving prasad, it's all the same thing. Dealings, husband, wife, this, that, it doesn't matter. It's all the same. One culture. Different philosophies. In the West, they quote one philosophy, but totally different cultures. So it's not that. You know what I'm saying? So there's no harm in it. Does that make sense? Do we understand why we're going into this? Because otherwise we might think, oh, this is all just philosophy. But the point is, if you don't understand this, how do you apply the secondary? How do you apply? You know, it's just like, if I don't know the cooking, how do I apply all the pots and pans in the kitchen? Right? To teach, okay, this is a frying pan, this is a grater, this is a knife, how long does it take? But the concept of cooking and how it works, and that's the harder part. Right? Teaching a recipe is easy. Teaching someone cooking, now that's a different thing. Right? Does that make sense? Two different things. Okay. As an alternative, a Brahmin may also take to the Vaishya's occupational duty of agriculture, cow protection, and trade. He may depend on that which he has received without begging. He may beg in the paddy field every day. He may collect paddy left in the field by his proprietor, or he may collect food grains left here and there in the shops of grain sellers. These are four means of livelihood that may also be adopted by Brahmins. Among these four, each of them in succession is better than the one preceding it. Right, so in other words, to do trade and all that, that would be the lowest. Then begging would be up from that. Then going to the paddy field and begging there instead of door to door, that would be better. Then after they after the, you know, harvest is that and they leave, because there's always grains on the ground, you go and pick that up. And then better than that is you collect here and there in the shops and all that, because then that's really a waste, because the ones in the field will grow and make more. So when they sell rice and stuff and they're there, there's always stuff on the ground. You just go and sweep that up and take it home and clean it and stuff like that. So that's considered the best, because you're completely independent. Nobody wants it, so it's not a matter of fighting over. Because in the paddy field, you go there, other people will happily do that. Go and glean from the field, less people will do it. How many will go to the market and glean? Not many. So therefore, it's the occupation that the least amount of people are interested in it, and you're totally independent. Somebody says, you can say, oh, as Paul said, no, he's totally independent. Right? Does anyone tell him, get over there and clean? No, he does it when he wants. Right? But a job, you're not there at 9 o'clock, it doesn't work. So these are the ways that you can do it. So these are all the rittas that you're just picking up from the fields and picking up from the shrubs from there. Begging is, what's it? I think pramrita. Amrita is just you just accept whatever comes without begging. Generally, that's not mentioned so much because generally, unless one's advanced, one can't live by that. So it's not a general recommendation like that. Satyamrita, then that's your occupational duty with, as of a Vaishya. Because Satyamrita, as the question came up, business means half truth, half lie. Because if you tell the truth, people will make a mess of your life. Because you're thinking, they're thinking you should be truthful, but they're not truthful. Right? It's just like this. If you said, okay, how much for this? And then you say, well, actually I got this in Germany, it cost me this much, and then I had to come over here, and so bringing it and all this and that, it cost me this much, and then I have to pay this much for the stall, like that, and then I have to also come here, and this and that, and so basically altogether it cost me this much. Like that. And so then the person goes, okay, and so what's the going rate on profit these days? And okay, it's this much percentage. Okay, so I'll give you this much then. Is that going to happen? No. Because you're going to say, it cost me this much. And whatever you say, they're going to take it that you're lying. And they're going to give you less than that. You say, okay, this costs 200 euros. And that's just cost. They won't give you. They won't figure, okay, and then you need profit, so... you know, 25%, I'll give you 250. No, they'll go, oh, he's lying. I'll give you 100. So that's why Satyamrita, you can't say. You just have to say, you know, how much is this? You know, 250. Or if you know people bargain, 300. Oh, I'm not giving you 300. I give you 200. Okay, 275. Okay, and then 250, you settle that. You understand? So that's Satyamrita. You can't tell the truth. Because people aren't qualified to deal with the truth. Now, if you get a Brahmin walking into your shop, then you could maybe tell him.
This part is also that Brahman sometimes he can, for I don't know, some period of time, right with his Brahmanical occupation, can take also the Vaishya.
Yes, he can. So that means he can take Brahman, he can take, which is the main is this. Patana, patana, vyajana, yeah. That would be his standard. If you can't do that, you can do that in Kshatriya. If you can't do that, you can do that in Vaishya.
It means that he can lie also when he is doing his occupation?
It's not, it's called half, it's not a full lie. It's just like this. The lady's putting on a sari. Does it look nice or not? Of course it looks nice. You're not going to tell her that no matter what sari you put on and how you put it on, you're going to look bad, lady. You know, is that going to work? No, it looks nice. Because the point is if a lady is enthusiastic, whatever she wears looks good. I mean, most of the fashion these days is pretty stupid. You know, pants that got holes in it. Before, people used to go out and buy new pants. Now it's considered fashionable. So therefore, you know, most of what they're wearing is weird. You know, so there's some lady in the air, they got the hair tied up in the back, but then the front, it's all hanging in her face. You know, how does that work, you know? Like that. It's weird, you know. Paint their nails. They only paint the middle of the nails. They don't paint the whole nail. You know? Like, they didn't have enough polish, so they only could do a little bit, you know, like that. And thought that was better, do all five nails with a line rather than do two of them fully. Or, you know, how does it work? You know what I'm saying? So the point is if the girl's confident, whatever she wears, it'll look good. So now, if it is a discussion, this one looks nicer than that one, if they ask. But otherwise, you know, it's just like that. Because you can tell, the businessman knows. She goes, do you like this? Means, I'm not sure between whether this one or that one. Then you'll say, I think this one, or yeah, that one. Or if you say, hey, does this look good? Means she thinks it looks good, and so yeah, it looks good. Because she makes it look good, so therefore. That's how trade works. Trade doesn't work on truth. Philosophy works on truth.
It means what kind of varna we are taking, I don't know, for the service.
That's why it said it's lower.
Take the occupation and the rules which are...
Yeah, but it doesn't affect your lifestyle. The Brahmin still lives a brahminical lifestyle. Right, he still gets up in the morning, does his puja and everything like that. Like that was a big problem when we were in South India. You'd go to visit somebody, you know, because you have to visit them either before or after work or something. So you go before work, you know, let's say, you know, because they're all up at early morning. Because the shops in those days started at 8 in the morning. All the shops were open at 8 in the morning. So you have to be there at 6 in the morning. But you go at 6, the guy's doing his puja, and he's been doing it for the last 2 hours, and he'll be doing it right up to the end. He'll finish his puja, come out, drink his coffee, and head off to work. You know, I'm talking about the Brahmins here. Like that, right? So they do their puja, they do everything. You know what I'm saying? So they live that lifestyle, but at the same time they're doing business. And business, you have to do business according to the nature of it. You don't cheat. When we're saying you're not telling the truth here, it means you're not cheating. It's just you're within reason saying what people need to hear. Means, you know, they say, is this good? And for the price, it's good. You know, you want something better than, you know. You know what I'm saying? You're selling a used car. Is it good? Yeah, it's good for a used car, but it is a used car. You want a good car, go buy a new one. You know, you're going to tell that to the guy? No. So that's why it's half truth, half lie. Means it's not fully, it's just where it needs to be, you're telling the rest of it. Is. Right. In other words, you want to sell it for 250 euros, that's the truth. So that's what you write there. You understand? That's why it's considered lower. So better than that's begging. Better than that's collecting from the fields. You understand? So it goes up from there. But best is he's just doing his regular duties. Right? Does that make sense? So best is he's teaching, studying, you know, due to his teaching, due to his puja, that's why they're giving charity. As opposed to he's begging and they're giving charity. Right? But if he's doing these things and no one's giving anything, then he goes out and begs. You know, like Chanakya. He set up, he had his little grass hut, you know, and lived there, and every day he'd go out begging, even though he's the prime minister, right? He could have had unlimited money. But he didn't want to be dependent upon a kshatriya, because that's considered lower class. Within alternatives, you could also go and get money from a kshatriya. Because a kshatriya, their duty is if there's any Brahmin in the kingdom who's not taken care of, he should take care of. But in doing that, he takes care, but he gets 1/6 of their credits, their pious credits. So if the king supports Brahmins, he gets 1/6 of their you know, pious credit, whatever it is. So if it's devotees, they get a devotional credit. Right? But that's considered not nice because that means you get 1/6 of his karma. So why take on this extra karma just for money? So that's why begging, you go and beg. And generally you're begging raw things, you know, grains, and then you go home and cook them. But if they're getting cooked and you know, like that, you know, so there's always degrees in everything. Everything has degrees. So So you just have to, you know, what it is for your situation works at the moment. And so what works now may be changed later. So if in other words, if a Brahmin can't do brahminical things and maintain himself and he takes up the duties of a Vaishya, that works. But if he could do the brahminical things and he won't, then he's reclassified as a Vaishya. Then you are a Vaishya, not a Brahmin. You understand? But if you can do the brahminical and you do that, you're a Brahmin. If you can't do the brahminical and you do someone else's, you're still considered a Brahmin. Right? That's why in Manu, means when we were studying it, then those were taken out. There's three pages of what kind of Brahmins not to invite to a Shraddha. And so basically it means any Brahmin who's not doing the direct duties of a Brahmin. Studying, teaching, doing puja, and doing puja for others. If it's outside of that, you don't invite him. So if he's a businessman, if he's a carpenter, he's this, that, but you just have to make it clear. So there's three pages of that. Right? But they're Brahmins. Because, in other words, they can't do their duty. That's why they're doing that. But you don't ask them because their head's going to be into that. They're not going to be thinking of like Shastra all the time, because they have to think of these other things. Like I know in Vrindavan, now I think they're retired, but the best carpenter in Vrindavan was a Brahmin. The work he would do, no one could do. I've never seen him work as good as him. They were a Brahmin family. But he was carpenter. So you could see it, that the refinement that he could do and the technicality and all that, you know, the mechanics of it, was greater than a carpenter who was a Shudra, because he was a Brahmin, he had that kind of brain. And he would do all these things, you know, things for the deities and altars and, you know, like that. That's what he could do. You know, he wouldn't be making a chair or something like that. Though he could make a chair, but, you know what I'm saying? So that's the thing. So he is a Brahmin. You accept him as that because he lives a lifestyle of a Brahmin in his house, but his work is that of a carpenter. But you wouldn't invite him for the Shraddha because his headspace would be carpenter. Is that what's happening? Yes.
Some time ago there was a discussion here about how the Brahmins are anarchists.
They're not anarchists, it's just that you don't have a term for it in the modern. They're not anarchists.
Yeah.
It's because they're following the law of the universe and following scripture. So you don't have to worry that they won't follow the social. Right? So they're not controlled by the administration as such. But it's not that they can function outside of their duties. In other words, administration has to see that they are performing brahminical duties if they claim to be Brahmins. Right? So, like we said there, if they could do brahminical duties but they're not, they're doing, you know, business or something else, then the king will demand that they reassign themselves as Vaishyas and not count themselves as Brahmins. That they can do, that authority is there. Right? Or if two Brahmins have a problem, they'll work it out for them. Does that make sense? So there's an involvement there. But it's not that they function on a social system as such. Each one independently works. And because they all know what to do, it works out. Like I've seen that in the pujari room, let's say, you know, just before you open the curtains, before darshan, there's all kinds of things to do because, you know, things are sitting around and all that. But when you're dealing with those who are full-time pujaris and that's all they do, and they've been doing that for the last 5, 10, 20, 30, 40 years, no one has a specific job. Just that you know, you're there, you see something to do that has to be done before that, you do that, then you pick the next one. You know what I'm saying? So everybody, it just gets done. So today you might do this, tomorrow you might do that. You understand? This one dresses this deity, this or that, but taking the clothes out or, you know, putting this on the altar or adjusting the lights, it's just whoever. Sometimes it works out and then it gets a routine, but on festivals, there is no routine, so they just do it. So that's the whole thing, because they all know what to do, it gets done. But for everybody else, you have to say, this one does this, that one does that. And, why you turned on the light? That's my job. You know, it turns into a whole scene. But in this brahminic, it doesn't work like that. Because it's just, you're trying to get it ready. It's about the darshan. So everybody does everything until it gets done. Does that make sense? So it's not, so that's the problem, is in English you don't necessarily have terms for it. So what do you call that? So it's not, it doesn't have a system, but it's, so that's the closest thing you could say, but the problem is anarchy, you know, means they go and blow things up and they don't. In other words, anarchists won't be able to run anything because they only know how to destroy things. So we're talking about people who are just the opposite. They know how to make everything prosperous by their knowledge and by their education. You know what I'm saying? So maybe they're anarchists or something. I don't know. There isn't really a social system.
To me, it brought this kind of idea that all the Brahmins should just do their own thing, not considering authority. That's what
no, I mean. But what's the authority? The authority is the Shastra. You have to put it in the context of the whole thing. Is Brahmins can't function without Kshatriyas. Kshatriyas can't function without Brahmins. Because the point is what will the Kshatriya affect unless it's what's gained from the Brahmin? And how does what the Brahmin is teaching get affected unless it's done by Kshatriyas? So they're like energy and energetic. You can't function without each other. But of the two, the Brahmin's the senior. So they're working on higher authority, therefore they everything works. Now they don't work under authority, they are working under authority. They're the ones working most carefully under authority. Right? And understanding that they're not authority. Right? Means they're an instrument in the process of authority, because authority is the principle. So we can be an instrument. So Krishna is the authority. And we're simply servants in that process. Does that make sense? So that's the thing, is there's these social systems are on the lower levels, but when you get to Vijnanamoy, the understanding of the soul, where's the social system? Because it's about the soul, not the body. So when you're talking about the body, and that's where the social system is, so you have the Dharma, the Kshatriyas, you know, so that would be some kind of authoritative-based administration. Either monarchy, oligarchy, some kind of authority, right? Then you're going to have pranamoy, which is for your Vaishyas, where they work together, they like the democracy, because no one wants to be get left out in any way. And then the Shudras, it has to work on the social, because they want to be taken care of. Right? Does that make sense? The Vaishya has a problem, he thinks of a new angle of business. A Shudra has a problem, he wants a handout. You understand? So that's the difficulty. So how do you do that? Okay, you take care of people, great. But how do you define who's being taken care of? You know, so unless they really require it, they can't do something else, why should they should get it? But much of these modern socialist systems, anybody gets it. So then, who pays for that? Because they're not generating the money. Money has to come from somewhere. That means the people who are making the money. So the people who are making the money don't generally support the system. That's the whole problem. Conservatives don't support any kind of social services because they have to pay for it. Right? And the liberals, they only support that. You know, but where will the money come from? So that it's not intelligent. You know what I'm saying? So the whole thing is then the one, they like the bureaucracies and all that, but then the problem is that costs more. The other one likes to keep it slimmer because it costs less. But then you keep it slimmer, there's less job. It's insane. So the Vedic system is, you know, who needs, gets. Otherwise, you should be producing. Because it's all about action. It's not about getting. It's about action. So the Vedic system is all about what is correct action, right? So when we're saying devotional service is about correct action, means what is devotional service? What pleases Krishna? What frees us from the material world? Does that make sense? So that's what we're defining. So Varnashram is the scientific system to define that, right, on these lower levels. And devotional service then defines it on the higher levels, right? The metaphysics in between, So you have the social systems, the metaphysics, and then devotional service. Right? So since it's all Krishna and all Krishna's creation, they all work together. But you have to know the hierarchy. Highest is devotion, next is metaphysics, next is then the social. Does that make sense? And then within the social, you have to understand dharma's top, then artha, then niti, then kama. Like that. You have to understand this, is what's the order. Right? But otherwise, because if you mix them around, it will fail. You know, it will fail. Make sense? Yeah, so that's all. You know, so that people don't want to, I think you just had it here, the part of the political scene is that one country doesn't have, it, somehow or another, they're not so good at economics. Right? Good at enjoying themselves and not at economics. Right? So now the other countries say, okay, we'll help you out, but then you have to do this. Which means you have to be more austere, more careful, more this, less enjoying spirit. So, then the leader doesn't want to take the decision, because if he does, the people won't like it, and they'll throw him out and put someone else in there, right? So he says, I leave it up to the people, right? Then the people, of course, say, we don't want to go through any austerities, we just want to enjoy ourselves, so why do we need this other system? Hey, but where's the money going to come? Right? So nothing comes without work. You have to work. So endeavor is the only way something of value is gained. Right? Correct action gets a correct result. Incorrect action gets a bad result. No action gets no result. Right? Does that make sense? So therefore, that's what the whole Vedic system is about. What is correct action? Now this correct action, what it means is devotional. Correct action, which means it's metaphysical, you know, or spiritual, and then there's correct action, which is material, which is, you know, fruitful, beneficial. Right? Then you can do wrong action and, you know, ends up in all kinds of weird, strange places. Does that make sense? So that's what scriptures define. That's why everything has to go back to scripture, because it defines what's correct and what's not. Right, so it can't be what the people think. No, you make what the people think, you see that in line with the Shastra. Right? That's the thing, it's like the king, if he, let's say, goes and takes over the next country. So all the laws of the country that aren't against the Vedic principles, he keeps in place. Even though it's different from what they do. You know what I'm saying? You know, it's just like, I don't know if I gave here the example. There's one village up in, you know, in the Himalaya region, you know, it's kind of mountain village. And they have a tradition in their village that when a girl, you know, is of marriageable age and there's a boy she likes, then she goes to the house of the boy herself, knocks on the door, and she has something, I don't know what it is, I can't remember, a particular, you know, flower or plant or something, but it's something very specific. She knocks on the door and then hands it to the boy and then runs. Right? Now, if the boy can catch her before she gets to her house, they get married. If he couldn't catch her, then he's considered not qualified. So he'll knock on a different door. Now, this is kind of a strange custom, but it's how marriages work in that village. So it's not against the Vedic principle, because it's the girl's side of the family is making the arrangement, though the girl's doing it directly. And the boy has to qualify himself, and you know, he's up to the standard. So it fits the Vedic version, but as far as the specific of the culture, it's a bit unique. But the king would leave that in place. Yeah. Because it's not against the Vedic principle. You know what I'm saying? So anything of a particular area that's not against the Vedic principle, then it's fine. Does that make sense? But it's still, the primary aspect is how the Shastras give it, and generally you would choose what traditionally is done by the Acharyas. But if the principle is accomplished, then it's still okay. Right? Like we see this order of things here. The Brahmin has something to eat, so that's accomplished. But there's an order of quality of it. So in other words, something non-Vedic won't be as good as something that's Vedic. Right? And something that's for Dharma Artha Kama will be lower than something that's for moksha, which will be lower than something for bhakti. So like that, then you discern. Does that make sense? Yeah. So that's what you're trying to accomplish. So that means Brahmins and Kshatriyas only do things because they're based on Shastra, you know, or authority like that. Vaishyas do whatever makes profit. And then if it can also be seen as something, you know, Vedic and pious, then that's extra profit. Hence the 2-meter checks with the photographs. Right? Does that make sense? Because then they're making money and getting profit from the charity. You know, so that's what they want to be known as, a great guy, because probably business tactics, they're not great guys, so it's always good to balance, you know. So does that make sense? Yeah?
Yes. In this Western countries, there's the system of president and the government, the ministers and like that. If the Vedic, would be applied to that kind of system, how it would be,
it would stay, it means your basic structure would stay the way it is.
Yes.
Point is to become God conscious. So whatever system you use, administration is to protect the people and create an environment of God consciousness. Right? So protection means that it's a safe environment in which they can prosper. Right, gain and safety. That's the material principle. So that's what governance is supposed to take care of. So if that's there, whatever system they want to use, it doesn't matter. Right? There'll be advantages in certain systems over others, because the Vedic is a combination of all of them. But nowadays they just use one. You know, it's either socialism or it's democracy or it's some kind of monarchy or say dictatorship, like all these different things. They just pick one. They don't know how to mix and stuff like that, because to be able to mix you have to be able to prioritize and see higher and lower. Right? So you'd have to accept that democracy has its limits, and that other administrative things are going to have a more efficient level, but it has to include the democracy, include the social. Does that make sense? But its authority actually has to be based on what's spiritual and what's devotional. Because the laws of the universe that govern everything, because they're into governance, but that's, they're governing here, but what governs the universe, that's these higher metaphysical principles. Those come from the Lord. So the highest is devotional, then your metaphysical, then your actual practical skills. So if that's seen, then it works from whatever it was, and it'll develop from there. There's so much aspects of the government developed because of lack of taking care, lack of trust, lack of these things. So then so much unnecessary aspects of the government is there, so it's not very streamlined. So if you're dealing with God consciousness and the focus is on pure devotional service, then you could streamline it down to what works. But you can only do that through God consciousness.
Like in the job description, so it would be more like the president is like a kshatriya and the ministers are like
Brahmins.
Brahmins,
yes.
Because here it's
yes.
External,
yeah.
Upside down.
Yeah. Well, nowadays the president's more like a shudra almost. Right?
Yeah.
So that's the problem. And no, it has to be, he makes the decision. But you have to have a proper balance and everything like that. But the balance is that, in other words, why would he have ministers he's not going to listen to? And why would someone want to be a minister for someone who won't listen to them? You know, so you want to have a balance, you know, and then you want to protect the country, so therefore the military and these aspects are there. You know, the police forces and paramilitary, you know, this whole level of things. That's what they do, so what's necessary for them you have to listen to also. But at the same time, it's not just about that. It's about protecting the people so they can be God conscious. So you have to get a balance. You know, so it's not that you spend all your money on new how you say, fighter planes and nothing on education. You know, so you have to find a balance, you know. Because if the people aren't protected, it doesn't matter what you do, and then everything's lost. So you have to protect the country. But at the same time, it's protecting the countries for a higher purpose, that people are getting educated and moving forward in human life. So that's why it takes maturity. So that's why the person leading the country should be mature, and the ministers and these offices that don't change should be, you know, the secretaries and all that should be mature. So in other words, if you're following a democracy, a political party should only put up for election someone who they confidently feel could run the country and benefit the people. So therefore, if you have however many parties you have that many qualified people. So whichever one you choose, it will work. There'll be a slightly difference in focus and emphasis, but it will work. But if it's simply the party is political and they're simply putting up someone who people vote for, but not that they can do the job, that's a waste of people's time. You know what I'm saying? So in other words, it should be about protecting the people. You know? That's the thing. And if it's there, then that'll work. But it doesn't really matter about the system. You know. But every system will have its strengths and weaknesses. So then you have to, you know, choose amongst that and what will work best.
So the Prime Minister could be one of the most qualified permanent?
Yes, he should be. He should have all the qualities. In other words, other ministers will have according to their nature what they're doing. Like, say, ones that are dealing with money, they should be honest. Right? So ones that are dealing with people should be sense controlled. Right? Does that make sense? So like that, you have different, those who are dealing with political things should be trustworthy, right? But the Prime Minister should have all those qualifications. So he should be the most cultured and qualified. Then he can give the best advice, because whoever's head of state should be taking the main advice from them on just, you know, as regular discussions, because you have to think. But when you come to making decisions, then you take the body of ministers and discuss on the bigger, you know, if it's bigger kind of things. You're making policy or stuff like that. But the concept on what direction to go with policy, you do that with your prime minister. Right? So like that, there's details. Or when it comes down to it, now the practical, you would talk with each minister separately and get their opinions and directions. So then you put it all together into a package that everybody will be satisfied. Then you bring it up and present that, and then they discuss it again. Then you make your policy. So that's the system of doing so. But that means there must be character, there must be qualities, there must be, you know, there must be leadership. You know. Okay. Yes.
How is the mechanism when a Eastern as a preaching mission is having an antichrist like a restaurant?
Having
a restaurant for preaching,
right?
Part of the mission.
Yes.
It's still within the business, but it's not owned by a businessman. It's owned by a mission. And
but who runs it should know business.
Exactly, and the manager.
The manager should know business.
Yeah, but in terms of protecting.
No, no, no. See, if you're saying the business temple has a restaurant as a business to raise funds for temple activities, but the point is who knows how to make profit? Someone who understands the economic field. They may be a Brahmin who knows the economic field, a Kshatriya knows it, or a Vaishya who knows it, but they have to be someone who knows the economic field, right? They manage it and make the money. But it's understood that money is for the temple. Right? At the same time, as then you have to see what's the arrangement, why that person's involved. Right? Do they have their own business or taking care, and they just come down and give some advice on that, so they have an on-site manager, but they make all the business decisions and stuff like that, so it goes nicely. And they're doing it as a service for free. Or they're being taken care of by the temple. They're doing full-time service, but they know this, so the temple takes care of them. But that's their service, is they take care of this, it generates money for the temple. And then you have those that are temple devotees that work in there, you know, as their service, and they're taken care of. Or they live outside and they're getting paid. So you just have to judge who's where and what. But the point is if you're going to run a business, you have to have someone who knows business. You don't have someone who knows business, don't even try. You know, you can do prasad distribution, which you're giving it out for free and all that, and that's a nice thing. Right? But then that means you have to have something that sponsors the food. Right? Like that. And sometimes they combine them, because you have a restaurant, and what's extra, you distribute. Or because the restaurant has facilities to cook, then in the early morning they cook for the prasad distribution, and then the day they cook for the restaurant. I've seen a temple like that. They do very nice, huge prasad distribution. But it's connected with the, you know. Does that make sense? So you just have to see, it just has to be clear who's doing what. You know? So it has to be clear to the administration, but it also has to, the individual has to be clear. They can't say, I'm a full-time devotee, but I want to be paid. No, it's got to have a balance. Right? So. I know we're finished for today.
Okay.
But if you want, you start tomorrow.
I try to be here in the morning.
Huh?
I try to be here in the
okay,
morning.
Okay, yeah, so then we can open up the question. Okay, thank you. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama.